Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Psalm 141 is a psalm of David where David is crying out for help to his God. We can almost physically feel the intensity of this crying out. It can remind us of the intensity of the prayer that Jesus prayed to his Heavenly Father before the crucifixion. Jesus was dependent on his Heavenly Father, as was David, and the same is true of us as well. Christians are dependent on God for everything. Not only for the big things, but the relatively small things as well. Total dependency means total dependency. Verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Verse 2 compares prayer and worship to incense and the evening sacrifice. God's setting up of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament period was to be done His way and only His way. And He has set up corporate worship to be done this way, in other words, His way and only His way as well. Even with private corporate prayer, Jesus has... I just contradicted myself there. Even with private prayer, Jesus has given us the model prayer and gives us what our priorities in prayer should be. So whether it be private or corporate, Jesus has given us a model prayer that gives us what our priorities in prayer should be. God comes first in the prayer. He comes last in the prayer. Prayer is not all about us. It's not all about me, but it is definitely all about God. Jesus in his earthly life understood this, and we should too. Verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We might pray the right prayers and worship in the way that God has instructed us to. But if we do not keep our tongues from evil, we will destroy much of what we have been building up. We must be careful to use our mouths for the glory of God and not for our own ends, depending on how we may feel that particular day. Sinful gossip is often a form of mouth murder that must be avoided at all costs. And the misuse of the name of God must always be avoided as well. In the keeping of our tongues from evil, we show our love for God and our love for our fellow members of the kingdom of God as well. We must depend on God to use our mouths in biblical ways and never to let our guard down. One of the ways to keep our guard up is through the reading of the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, and prayer. Verse 4. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. This verse should remind us of Psalm 1. Christians are called on to be part of this world, but not of this world. Jesus was part of this world, but he was never of this world and becoming too enamored with his surroundings. David, on the other hand, allowed his worldly power and strength to go too far at times and acted as if he were of this world. When David committed adultery, murder, and numbered his people, he imitated the works of worldly, sinful, pagan kings who often did what they wanted. And if people were hurt in the process, so be it. We must imitate Jesus, who did not break the commands of God in any way. Jesus was able to spend time with evil men without becoming evil himself in the process. Verse 5. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayers against the deeds of the wicked. Jesus loved his disciples, and one of the ways that he showed love for them was his rebuking of them. It's very tempting to become upset when fellow Christians rebuke us in love for our own sake. It's very important to not let our pride get in the way and treat those brethren as enemies because they recognized our sin and had the courage to point it out. Think about how different things may have been if David had the prophet Nathan punished, maybe even put to death for pointing out David's sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah the Hittite. We are to hate wickedness and not equate wickedness with our feelings of being hurt when we have done something wrong. We must be prepared to accept loving rebuke in a godly manner. Verse 6. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Verse 7. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave as one plows and breaks up the earth. There is a true battle between the righteous and the wicked, and we identify with the righteous who have given their lives for the kingdom. The righteous may look like they are defeated, but their bones are scattered everywhere. But often, the situation is the opposite of the way things appear. David identified himself with the bones of defeated righteous ones, or apparently defeated righteous ones, and so does Jesus, as these righteous ones are part of his body. Verse 8. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul desolate. Jesus himself looked like he was defeated as he was hanging on that cross and being mocked as being a loser. Jesus himself looked like he was defeated, but Jesus had faith in the same Heavenly Father who he cried out to when he was being punished by that Heavenly Father for the sins of his people. And while Jesus was for a time forsaken by his Heavenly Father, it was for the sake of the kingdom. In the end, Jesus arose victoriously. Verse 9. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. David knew what it was like to have enemies who tried to trap him. Without God, David would have theoretically become a defeated nobody who we would not even talk about today. But with God, David was the most successful king that Israel ever had. Jesus also had traps set for him. But Jesus, who was a man of prayer, while at the same time being part of the Godhead, defeated those who tried to trap him time and time again. If David, and especially Jesus, prayerfully depended on God for victories over the enemies of the kingdom, so much more should we. Verse 10. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I escape safely. When all is said and done, the enemies of David were defeated, and he died as a victorious king. Jesus, who arose from the dead, not only defeated all of his enemies, But he did it in a totally sinless manner. And after being raised from the dead, many of those enemies were changed, as we read in the book of Acts, through the work of the Holy Spirit. In the end, the wicked certainly will be defeated, and the righteous will be safe, because King Jesus has never lost a battle, and King Jesus never will.